In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have a parable which teaches the remembrance of death. You might not think it does, but it's very clear. The remembrance of death means to always be attracted to life, to things that bring life, to know what is dead and what is alive. The rich man, the unnamed rich man, by the way, just like the unnamed rich man in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, a nobody, didn't know the things that brought life and didn't know what things brought death. He thought that the things that brought him pleasure, the things that were his possessions, brought him life. And that's not true. This parable is an answer to the verse beforehand, where the Lord says that a man's life consists not in the abundance of his possessions. But it's much more profound than just that, as always the Lord's parables are. Remember, I've told you before that the Lord, when he answers a question, he answers the question that should have been asked. He doesn't just ask the question that's been asked. So even when the Lord makes his own statement that a man's life consists not in the abundance of his possessions, he's going to even go further than that in explaining the parable. Yesterday, we talked about Psalm 118, verse 19. I'm a sojourner on the earth. Hide not me from me thy commandments. And I told you that's also about the remembrance of death. Actually, there's a lot of remembrance of death in the Christian life. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't want to think about death. Instead, the world wants to do things that are dead and think that they're life. A Christian knows which is alive and what's dead. And he wants to live with the things that are alive, because those are the only things that bring eternal life. Now, the reason this rich man had a problem with remembrance of death, and that he did not know about death, he didn't know what was dead and what was alive, is because of a fundamental problem that is mentioned twice in the parable. This is, in my opinion, the most important part of the parable. And he thought within himself, it says, after his ground had produced an incredible harvest, he thought within himself. He kept his own counsel. He who thinks within himself has a fool for a counselor. You'll never do well if you think within yourself. We don't have the wisdom to know about life. God only knows. This man thought within himself. And after he thinks a little while, he thinks of a preposterous scheme to tear down perfectly good barns, thereby probably wasting some of the produce that's in the barns from exposure, and build greater barns. And he says to himself, and I will say to my soul, here he is talking to himself again. This is why he does not understand what is alive and what is dead. Because he talks to himself. He keeps his own counsel. He doesn't look to God for guidance or even man. He perceives things that are pleasurable to him. His money, his house, his possessions, his comfort, his ease, and he perceives these things as life, when actually they are death. The only thing that is life, according to the parable, is to be rich toward God. And here's how you are rich toward God. Of course, the Lord owns the cattle of on the thousand hills. We can't have any possession that he does not already have, since all our things are his. To be rich toward God is not to have possessions. To be rich toward God is to become like God. This is talking about deification, the change of the soul from darkness to light, from cold to warm. This is richness towards God. And the rich man knew nothing about it. So he was rich towards the earth. In regards to secular life, he was rich. In regards to heaven, he was a man with no name and poor. So, how are we to escape from this common human frailty of keeping our own counsel and of not knowing what is alive and what's dead. We must understand the parable, and that will help us. So the Lord said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. Ground is something that is spoken of in the scripture as being, in some context, the soul. Remember that the sower went out to sow his seed? Well, obviously you sow seed into the earth. And what is the seed supposed to do? Well, of course, seed is supposed to bear fruit. And what is that fruit? That fruit is the virtues. That fruit is the following of the commandments. That fruit is the perfection of the soul. The parable of the vineyard is the same. The Lord builds a vineyard and he hedges it round about and he puts in a wine press and he lends it out to husbandmen and he expects the earth to bear fruit. That is the human soul. We are to bear fruit. You're not supposed to be on earth just to just hang out. You're supposed to become better. You're supposed to bear fruit. And that fruit is, as the parable says, to be rich toward God, to become like God. That is the bearing of fruit. Not the building of bridges or the getting of advanced degrees or having children. That's not fruit. That's just part of daily life. And if God grants children, then yes. But the children are not fruit. Two, inculcate in your children virtue, that's fruit. So there are two kinds of ground. There's the ground that is just the earth, terra firma, things that bring forth possessions and riches and other things, that all of which will die, every single one, all of which are temporary. Or there is the soul, the ground of the soul into which God sows his seed and waters with the Holy Spirit and warms with the Eucharist and his grace, and it should bear fruit to become rich toward God. Now, it's very important. It might seem self-evident to you, but I'll tell you what, it's not in the way we live that there are things that are fruitful for the earth and fruitful for heaven. Don't worry about the things that are fruitful for the earth. Okay, you have to earn your wage, you have to pay your bills, you have to do all those things. But the most critical thing that you must do is you must tend the garden of your soul, and you must bear fruit so that you are rich toward God. And I've told you this many times, and I'm going to say it again. You must learn to change your mind about spiritual things and secular things. You must learn to discern what is life and what is death. That's the remembrance of death. And this doesn't come instantaneously to a person. It will not happen by watching television. It will not happen by just bebopping through life. It will not happen if you are not praying. It will not happen if you are not trying to fast. It will not happen if you are not struggling for your salvation. It doesn't just happen by some random event. It doesn't happen by just osmosis. It happens with our struggle to follow the way of God. So you must struggle to follow God. I've told you the things that can change your mind. I mentioned fasting. I mentioned television, but I didn't mention a brick. That'll help a lot. The gospel, of course. I tell you every day, just about every single time. Read the gospels. They will change your mind. They will do wondrous things in your heart if you read them often, daily. Come to the services, not just liturgy. Come to the service to pray. Now, some of you might not be very comfortable with praying for a long period of time. It might get boring. All right. Do your best. You can't do better until you don't do so good and start improving. If you do nothing, you're not going to get better. All these kinds of things will help cultivate in you remembrance of death. But the most critical thing is that you must have in the way you live that you are trying to discern what is good and what is bad. Now, if you do that only by taking counsel in yourself, you won't figure it out. But if you also take counsel from the scriptures, from the services, from the church, from perhaps the counsel of friends, from confession, then you'll get a better understanding of what is good and what is bad. Sometimes it's very fine what is good and what is bad, what is life and what is death. You must cultivate this remembrance of death. And then you will be rich toward God. Now, the rich man had other problems. When he thinks within himself, he absolutely says, as they say, a howler, something that is remarkably stupid. He says, "What shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" He has no idea that the things that he has are from God. And so he is audacious enough to think that he can do whatever he wishes with those things. This is because he's listening to the fool himself as a counselor. Now, the fathers also talk about that when he says, "What shall I do?" that this is also what the poor say. The poor say, "What shall I do? I don't have bread to fill my mouth." The rich man says, "What shall I do? I have too much bread." Of course, St. John Chrysostom speaks about the barns as being the stomachs of the poor, and he could distribute his food to the poor. And if he has a large produce, large harvest, he could distribute what he has, build bigger barns, have more food, and distribute even more to the poor, and garner for himself great richness towards God. But instead, he thinks only of himself and bestowing his fruits upon himself. So the thing that the fathers bring forth is that the rich are saying, "What shall I do?" The poor are saying, "What shall I do?" Everybody's confused about what they should do. A Christian shouldn't be that. It's not confusing what to do. What you do is you live to follow the commandments. You struggle for virtue. You put your hope in God. You become attuned to what is good and what is evil. And you avoid the evil and you do the good. It's very easy. There should be no confusion about what you should do today. People get so excited and so confused. What shall I do about this or that financial thing? Decide your financial things. But first, decide your spiritual things. Because no matter what, there is always toil and travail in this life. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it doesn't matter. But we must do work that is useful. The rich man did work that made no sense. Tearing down barns, putting his produce in the bigger barns, and then talking to himself and saying, "Oh, everything's fine. Sold, I was goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink and eat and be merry." And of course, he died that night. The rich man equated pleasure with purpose, possessions with purpose, because he listened only to himself. God help us to not have this terrible dialogue. You've got to break this dialogue. Don't think that you're above it. Every single one of us has this dialogue with ourselves. We take our own counsel more frequently than we take the counsel of others, or we take the counsel of God. It gets us in trouble. Maybe not recognizable trouble, but it gets us in trouble. It keeps us from knowing God. The psalm that I talked about yesterday, "I am a sojourner on the earth, hide not from me thy commandments," is a plea of the person in this case David, but it should be you too, that you're a stranger on the earth. You're just passing through worldly things. And you're begging God to take away the veil from your eyes that makes you unable to see him clearly. That veil is your sins, your passions, your false priorities, your mistakes, your delusional thinking. It's not just mentally ill people that have delusions in the classic sense of a schizophrenic or someone. We're all full of delusions because we all see things that are death and we treat them as life. May God deliver us from this. Let us lay up goods in heaven, not just things on the earth. Let us understand what is alive and what is dead. If you're not sure, or if you think you already know, either one of those two things, then you better start reading the scriptures more, and you better start praying more, and you better start coming to church more. Because anybody who's sure that he knows everything that's alive and everything's dead doesn't understand what's alive and dead. Not according to the fathers, not according to the mind of the church. Only the perfect understand what is alive and what is dead. And then, of course, people that don't know what is alive and dead need to work as well, because they're better off. Because at least they know that they have something to aim for. The person who's self-satisfied like the rich man cannot be saved. May God deliver us from taking our own counsel. May God instill in us, all of us, the remembrance of death. That is, to know what is alive and what is dead. And in seeking God, to always seek what is alive. God help us in all things.